Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson RV, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, and Ray Marine Electronics.
Working hour two, The Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. That's Rob Ensley, Joey Pyburn, am I right? Matt Nelson behind the glass and on the phone, one of my favorite people. Log on to peregrinelodge.com. Lisa Killick of Peregrine Lodge, a little girl that grew up in fishing camps up and down the west coast of British Columbia.
Let's leave growing up out of this. All right, Nelly. Okay, how you doing, Lisa? Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Going great. I bet your phone's ringing. People are excited to get back up to Canada and fish up at Peregrine Lodge. How's
absolutely.
It going up there?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Borders are open. We can kind of drive in and out now. It's pretty exciting. I'm excited. People are flying in and out. So, fantastic summer. I spent 14 weeks up there. So that was wild, but got to know the area. And wow, what a fishery it is. It's awesome.
So here I am, minding my own business, just doing my Puget Sound fishing deal, and my phone, bink, and here's a picture of Lisa standing on the back of one of the Peregrine Lodge boats with her son.
Monster.
And a 54-pounder.
Jeez.
And we're dragging our gear around 100 feet, doing this stuff. All right, gosh, tell me how she, and she goes, 6 strips with a 4-ounce sinker. Come on, tell us the story about that one, a 54-pounder. It's been a lot of years.
Yeah, really, really exciting, actually. Mooching out there is something I haven't done in years, you know, since my days back in Rivers Inlet. So it was really exciting doing it out in the Haida Gwaii, I got to be honest. You know, I'm so used to using downriggers, and you just don't have to do that. You just don't have to do that on this site. You can, don't get me wrong. But it's a different fishery out there. And we get out to Naden. We just decide no other boats around. We decide to just, you know how you see a spot and you're like, this looks fishy. Let's do it. And we get out there and just, you know, back rod, 4 poles. I call them poles. You call them strips. That's Canadian-American thing, I'm sure. Get them out there. And not within seconds. And just the back line just bangs. It's gone. And of course, you know, we're all excited. We're getting this thing. About 45 minutes go by and we see a seal coming, uh-oh. Not going to lie, big sea lion coming. And we're like, all right, we got to get this. We got to get this fish in. We see it. It comes to the boat. We get it in the net. We're going to release it. I got to be honest. I like to release the big guys. Want to get our picture with it. Get it in the boat, but unfortunately it's bleeding really, really bad. It was a big bleeder, so it came in the boat because it was either the crabs or, you know, that sea lion.
Oh, yeah.
So we decided to take it in the boat, but really exciting. I'm not gonna lie, we did open a bottle of wine at 1 in the morning.
151, you know, bourbon, whatever's going down there.
Whatever was right there.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I know. We call those whiskey fish in Southeast Alaska. Boy, I mean, the liquor shall be cleaned out of Crown Royal the night after somebody pops a fish like that.
Go ahead.
Oh, talk about the mooching program up there, because you guys do it a little bit different. You guys run big herring, right? I mean, aren't you running big, like, purple and black label herring or something up there, according to Nelly? You're running
some
stuff?
We are, absolutely. We're running some purple.
Yeah.
It basically got a nice big spring phone. You bigger the bait, the bigger the fish,
yeah,
right?
There's no
question. We had some great fish up there this summer. A lot of nice 50s release. Some nice big 40s retained as well as released. It was a really, really great summer up there. And, you know, to be up there and watch those fish come in every day to that dock and dock bar was pretty special. And even, you know, a lot of teenagers coming in And I mean, that's generally the fish I like to keep. I got to be honest. They're just good eating. And I enjoy watching those come to the dock, and they were there every single day. Yeah. And I got to say, you know, when I was on the other side, there was a lot of, you know, we were fishing shoals. We were, yep, you know, fishing pinnacles, where here we're fishing, it's gravel and sand. So a lot of times, and you know, you're down 20 feet.
Just off
it's
the kelp.
Pretty cool. That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Just off the kelp.
And we had some friends go up the end of August, like kind of towards the end of king season, yeah, and they popped like 42 and 45 yeah pound kings, mm-hmm, and a 40, and I mean some pigs up there. Are those fish going to rivers in northern BC, or where are those fish headed, Lisa?
They sure are. They're going all the way down. A lot of those fish are heading towards Rivers Inlet. You know, they're heading down towards Hardy. They're all the way down. So a lot of these fish, which is really nice, are heading down to all the different river systems, and they're growing big, right? I got to say, on this side, the fish are definitely nice and big, wide, and big fish. I love it. And lots of coho, and the halibut fishing, as everybody always wants to know, is fabulous out there. There's no doubt about it.
Lisa Killick of Peregrine Lodge joining us this morning. Before I have you describe kind of the lodge and the facilities and take us up on a virtual kind of ride up there, I just kind of want to talk about some of the guides. I want to say that you were with Craig Mumby when you caught that big 54. Is that true, or am I screwed up here?
No, I was not with Mumby that day. I was actually with Mike. But the Peregrine Lodge guides, I did fish with Mumby as well. You know, a lot of those guides have been up there at least between 7 and 22 years.
And some of them have fished in other locations. Like Craig, for instance, who I fished with, was up in fishing Langara. And now he comes here, and I ask him, okay, all right, now why the move? He says, listen, the water's calmer here, and the fish are bigger, because when you're on that west side, it seems like some of those flybys and some of the most immature fish are coming down the outside, but it just seems like some of the bigger spawners, some of the bigger Chinook are coming down the inside, and they kind of hit the top there at Peregrine. But Lisa, how do folks get up there? Tell us a little bit about the facilities and how.
Are you sure you didn't go there because of the dock bar?
The dock bar is amazing, dude.
You and Mumby spent a little time in the dock bar, didn't you? Tell us about this whole Mumby thing. Nelly, what's
dude,
going on? You guys shut the bar down one night?
I got a man crush on Mumby.
Yeah, he stepped up the plate a couple times for me, you know, yeah, bartended. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. We became quite good friends.
We got to get to know this, yeah, Mumby guy.
Oh, he's a dandy, cool dude. But
he's got to have stories.
Yeah, just a stick. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
he's a pretty photograph.
Peregrine Lodge is a land-based lodge. Where we were working together before, Lisa, there were barges. They were so cool, amazing places, one of a kind. But the land, this land-based facility has everything. You got deer walking around there. You can play putt-putt golf. You can go for a hike. And, of course, there is the bar on the end of the pier right there, too. But tell us a little bit about the facilities and how folks get up there. And tell us about a typical, you know, where you got to land and where you get to and how you get up to Peregrine Lodge, Lisa.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically we run, Sunday to Wednesday and Wednesday to Sunday, from June, July, and August. We are a land-based facility. We meet you at the airport. We have obviously a host meet you at the airport. We have our own private landmark facility where you pull in. There's parking right there. You board the plane, basically leave at about 2:30 in the afternoon. We have our own plane, as I said. We fly into Masset, BC. Once you land in Masset, it is within minutes we board you on four different helicopters, 10-minute intervals. The process is really fast, actually. It's nice. It's fast. We land at the lodge, get into the lodge around 5 o'clock in the afternoon. We meet, we greet, you know, basically all our alcohol is included once you get to the lodge, except for obviously higher end.
Except for obviously Nelly. Obviously Nelly's not included.
The speed at which you get off the helicopter and get a cocktail is unprecedented in the hospitality industry. It's
absolutely, especially when you know it's free.
So Kathy and I had an absolute ball up there, Lisa. We can't wait to get up there. I know we got a few spots open in the listener trip, which is June 12th through the 15th. It's It's Father's Day weekend. It's a promotion that you and I have done together for the better part of 6 or 7 years now. So peregrinelodge.com, and what else do folks need to know to book, Lisa?
You know, absolutely. It is our least expensive trip on there this year. I always do it for this trip to get new people up there enjoying. It's $40.95 U.S. per person. It's a great deal. You know, there is not a lot of lodges left up in the Haida Gwaii. So if it is a dream, please get it done. Honestly, it's harder and harder to get in. Like I said, we're at the point where we're getting really close to being sold out. And I'm telling you, it's not even December. So take the opportunity, get up there. It is magical. It is absolutely beautiful. And I love going there. I've been doing this forever, and it's a gorgeous spot. The fishing is absolutely bar none excellent.
You going to catch the biggest king of the year right there. No question about it. Lisa Killick, peregrinelodge.com. We thank you for your time, my friend, and please keep in touch and tell your boyfriend Thad to stop sending me pictures of Colorado elk and pickup trucks full of elk, because you're killing me. Just killing me.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank
Have
you.
A great weekend.
All right, you guys. Cheers. Take care.
All right.
Bye.
Talk to you soon. Thank you very much. All right, coming up next, our critically acclaimed, award-winning Northwest Outdoor Report right here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
The Northwest Outdoor Report is brought to you by Half Lion Brewing Company. Experience the rugged luxury of real beer at halflion.com.
Bob Buchanan for Bomac Tackle in Sumner says there's a few winter blackmouth to be had in the Point Defiance area. He and his son Kyle landed 9 and 11-pound blackmouth at the point this week, jigging with 4.5-ounce Puget Pounder jigs. Bob said it's not red hot, but there's definitely a few around there. He thinks fishing will get a little better this week when the tides back off a bit. Buchanan added that the squid are starting to move into Point Defiance area as well. He's found them in 90 to 130 feet of water in front of the boathouse. When he's fishing squid from the boat, he likes to drop 2 to 3 unweighted Otori squid jigs with a cannonball at the bottom to get them down. He thinks the squidding could also get better this next week when the currents subside a bit in the South Sound.
Northwest Marine Mammal Managers report they have now removed 35 Stellar sea lions and 29 California sea lions from the Columbia and Willamette Rivers. The removal was granted by a federal permit in 2020 that authorized the take of up to 176 Stellars and 540 California sea lions from the Columbia River over the course of 5 years. Most of the rules so far have been at Bonneville Dam, but another 9 Stellars have been removed from Willamette Falls. It's estimated that sea lions consume as much as 44% of the adult spring Chinook on the Columbia each year, and the Willamette Wild Steelhead Run has an 89% of chance of becoming extinct if these sea lions aren't removed from Willamette Falls. Locally, Puget Sound faithful remain patient for similar action.
Yes, we are. The Everett Salmon and Steelhead Club is hosting their yearly river fishing clinic on November 13th at Floral Hall in Everett. Doug St. Denis of Ridge to River Outdoors and Jim Stahl of Northwest Fishing Guides will be on hand to get anglers dialed in for catching steelhead from the bank or boat on our local rivers. That's the River Fishing Clinic at Floral Hall in Everett on November 13th from 9 a.m. to noon.
Razor clam diggings open on select beaches on the Washington coast through Wednesday, November 10th. The low tide today is at 8:33 p.m., and digging usually starts 1 to 2 hours before the low tide. There's a bonus limit of 20 razor clams per person this winter. Be sure to check out the WDFW razor clamming regulations online to see which beaches are open on each day of this series of digs. Next round of razor clam digs is tentatively scheduled for November 16th through the 24th.
Late whitetail starts in Northeast Washington today, November 18th for late buck. The late whitetail hunt kicks off in most of the Northeast Washington units this weekend and runs through November 19th. On the west side, the hunters get from 18th to the 21st for late buck to harvest a cagey whitetail. 60% of the blacktails harvested in Washington each year are taken during the late hunt. As always, check out the hunting regs and WDFW website before hitting the field.
A Seattle Fire Department deputy chief is missing in Washington after going hunting near Natchez, Washington. Deputy Chief Jay Schreckengost, texted his family that he was leaving his rented cabin to go hunting near Cliffdale on November 2nd, and he hasn't been seen or heard from since. 7 search and rescue teams, 4 canine teams, and volunteers from the Seattle Fire Department have been searching for Schreckengost in challenging mountainous terrain. Officials are asking anyone with information about his whereabouts to contact the Kittitas County Emergency Dispatch Center at 509-925-8534.
Bass fishing icon Aaron Martins passed away on Thursday of this last week at the age of 49 after a 19-month battle with brain cancer. Martins fished in the Bassmaster Elite Series from 99 to 2018. Along the way, he competed in 20 Bassmaster Classics. He finished in the top 10 nine times, including four runner-up finishes at the 2005 Classic. He had the winning fish on three times and ultimately fell short of Kevin Van Dam by a mere 6 ounces. Next year, he also finished second in the Classic to Van Dam again. Over the course of his bass career, he won $3 million and countless tournaments. He also fished on the FLW Tour and the Major League Fishing Tour events. He is survived by his wife, Leslie, and their two children, Jordan and Spencer.
The Northwest Outdoor Report has been brought to you by Half Lion Brewing Company. Experience the rugged luxury of real beer at halflion.com.
So I just, you know, thoughts and prayers for my buddy Jay Schreckengost. I knew him my whole career. He's a firefighter's chief. He's a great guy. And just a gut punch for the whole department, man.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, and right now they've got all the help on the ground they want up there. The problem with a situation like this is, man, you're looking for tracks, you're looking for sign and stuff like that. And if you get people up there that aren't officially involved in the search, it actually makes things more difficult. So thoughts and prayers to the whole Schreckengost family and my SFD brothers, man. It's brutal.
Yeah, tough deal. Definitely thoughts and prayers go out to his family this tough time. We're going to jump over to Bob Buchanan here in a second. A little bit of black mouse, some crab, maybe some squidding, razor clamming. Look outside. The weather is horrible, but by God, there's some stuff to do out there. Don't forget to jump on vortexoptics.com. Jump on the apparel link on there and put in the outdoor line coupon code when you order your apparel from Vortex Optics right now.
Coming up next, the Wellcraft Wheelhouse with none other than Bob Bubba Buchanan right here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's Wheelhouse, brought to you by Wellcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
Welcome to the Wheelhouse here on 710 ESPN's The Outdoor Line. He's a major dude. Go to bow-mac.com, Bob Bubba Buchanan. Welcome to the Wheelhouse, Bubba.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's everyone doing?
Great.
Oh, we're doing good, man. Wishing we were outside fishing here, but you've been doing a little bit of that this week down the south end. Of course, black mouse season opened up at 11 on the 1st, and I guarantee that you were there at 7:35 a.m. dropping a jig to the bottom. What the heck have you found down there on the south end for black mouse, buddy?
Well, I didn't because of all the rain expected. I, at the last minute, the Friday before, pulled the boat, got it ready for all that water and some treatments, and didn't get it back in until Tuesday morning. My son went out and pounded it for a while and released a native and saw a few fish caught on Tuesday, so we didn't make the opener Monday. And then I trailed out Wednesday for my first trip, and I went out there and landed on a school of squid, and so I hooked up all my squid gear, and by the time I got done blowing down the drift at 2.5 miles an hour, I spent a half an hour trying to find them and couldn't find them again, so I decided to salmon fish and drop the jig down and with nothing on the screen and hit him right on the head. And it was over. It was over like that.
Blind, so, blind squirrel.
A clean screen.
He went blind squirrel mode.
You jigged a clean screen.
Yeah.
I dropped on a clean screen, and but as luck would have it, I turned over my shoulder while I was fighting the fish and took a quick peek, and I must have dropped right on the edge of a nice round, smaller ball of bait, and you could see the fish on that Ray Marine piece actually taking the jig and shaking all the way up while I was bringing them up.
Yeah, super
cool. Fun.
You're running Puget Pounder jigs, a little heavier, 4.5 to 6 ounce jigs. Now, talk about how you rig these jigs, because it's a little bit different setup than folks might think. Can you give us a quick how-to on running those jigs?
Yeah, I on just about any jig, I prefer to run them as a slider. So what you do is you have to narrow that eye a little bit. That eye is kind of a round eye. Just take your pliers and narrow it a bit so that your bead or hooks cannot slip through that eye of that jig. And then you bend them to the side, and you just run your leader from eyelet, the top eyelet, through the bottom eyelet, and attach it. And you got two hooks about a half inch apart on the bottom, and you're doing it. But the only thing to remember is you can't take a full up and down 6-8 foot swath, because if you do that on your downstroke, that jig is going to slide up your leader 2-3 feet, and if the fish grabs it up there, there's no hooks with it. So you're going to use a much shorter motion and keep that jig down around the hooks.
So like a 2-3 foot kind of a jigging program, or what are you doing there?
I mean, you can pull up, you know, 2-3 to 6 feet, mm-hmm. provided you don't let down too fast. But I will actually really, a lot of times I've learned by watching the folks down there, you're really only going to pull the foot max. You're going to flick it a foot, and if you have braid on and not a lot of stretch versus monofilament,
yeah, it's going to jump.
You're getting an instant reaction, and you will feel that jig bounce on your beads. I put a couple beads above my hook. You'll feel it hit those, you know, right away, and you just don't want a long wait in between that bounce at the bottom.
I've watched Bubba's motion, okay, and it's just like, you know, you're twitching jigs in a river, mm-hmm. okay? It's mm-hmm. just a little more pronounced, you know, motion than that.
And usually fish in the bottom, right, yeah. Bubba?
Usually on the bottom. I'm underneath. A lot of times when I mooch, I like to be on top. The only time I'll fish on top of the bait and not on the bottom is when the dogfish are just mm-hmm. grotesquely overbearing on my equipment.
And we were talking yesterday, and it seems like right now, I mean, I know the fish that we have in our pens down there at Tacoma Narrows are big greens, and some we're getting quite a few blues now, even some purples. So the fish, the bait that's down there is kind of on the bigger size, so that's probably where those bigger jigs are going to be more effective.
That's right. The fish I had a large green, the skeletal remains from the head to the tail of a large green label. But the one my son got right after me, I went back to work, and he popped right back out there and outdid me with a bigger fish.
It was. That was a chunk.
Young punk.
It had.
Rotten kid.
That's what I said. Yeah. It had four green labels or above in it.
Yeah.
And it was quite impressive from every aspect of the decay system, from a skeletal remains to a no skin to a partially no skin and to one that looked like you could cut, plug it, and put it right on.
Yeah, last year guys would have done that. There was no green label around, so you could have sold that sucker. Now you mentioned squid. You mentioned the S word down there. We've been hearing some rumblings. Talked to a buddy that runs squidding charters and stuff out of Gig Harbor yesterday. He's like, yeah, there's starting to be some squid showing up down there. What have you seen, man?
Well, my trip was a short one, but I did. I put it out of the marina right there by the boathouse, and I put it all the way down to the clay banks, zigzagging in and out from that 90 to 130 foot mark. And I passed a few smaller batches of squid. It doesn't mean they're not down there if you don't see them. But when you see larger groups, you will start picking them up. You'll see them on your machine. But when I got down just off the drop-off at Crab Point at about 130 feet, the current was blowing me into shore. And I picked them up at 130, and they were all the way into 90 to 70 feet. And so I'm frantically trying to get a cannonball on to fish them. And by the time I found the cannonball and got the snap put back together on it, I was out of them. So that's when I spent the time trying to find them. But I'll get after it next week. I'll get over to Vashon, a couple of spots where I like to do it over by the Tahlequah Ferry Dock, and see what's up. I'll know a lot more next week on that. But there's from what I'm hearing, there's some fish coming down that Kitsap side through that west channel, or some squid. And I think things are going to pick up. This next set of tides next week, I'm really looking forward to.
WDFW dropped a fishing rule change yesterday, opening up chum retention down in 13. It's not going to open up in 11 due to some chum abundance concerns in the Puyallup River. But do you ever mess around with chums down in the terminal area down there, Bob?
No, I don't. And, you know, at times I've been jigging off a slag pile, and you will actually see a school of them go by you underneath the boat. I suppose if I were to put a herring on, I could probably make something happen there, but with it not being open, I probably would not do that. And if I was mooching, I would be down at the bottom with a herring anyway. But there's always that chance going up and down you're going to run into one. And I have heard of one caught by a moocher.
And reports that you've gotten from the coast, on the razor clam front, I mean, there's a lot of clams on the coast. You had some buddies go out yesterday, the day before, and have their way before the tide and get their limits pretty quick out there. What are you hearing, man?
Six people, and they went down, and they miscounted, and they were four short of their limit when they got back here to Auburn. But they went down, and they were back in Auburn before the low tide.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was amazing. That was amazing. They said they got them, and they were back to – they got out of their truck and got back in their truck right at the 60-minute mark and drove home.
That's crazy.
Well, you know what they should have done is got back in their car and went back out there and got those last four clams. I'm disappointed.
Yeah, I'm crushed myself. One more thing before we let you go, Bob. I mean, you and I probably before the end of the month here are not only going to do the show together, but probably go pull some crab gear. Tell us a little bit about how you approach winter crab differently than we most of the folks fishing summer crab, Bob.
Well, first and foremost, I'm going to be much shallower for winter crab in the areas I fish, especially if I get up in your neck of the woods. There's just a lot of those salmon coming out of your systems. The live ones that are still barely kicking that come down tend to follow the shoreline before they pass away and roll around in that intertidal area. And a lot of them that have passed away just tumble down and fall into the abyss. So you're going to want to try to find a river mouth. It's a good spot. And hang around and work the shallower spots as well as some of the deeper spots. I mean, it's going to be a variety. You're gonna search a bit for them and find them, but most likely, especially up in your neck of the woods, where it seems like wherever I drop a pot up there, I get crab. So it's that's the approach. And provided you got the right bait, things can go good. And bait can be a challenge this time of the year.
Well, yeah, this time of the year, we don't have a whole lot of salmon fishing opportunities out there. And, you know, during the summertime, we have fresh salmon carcasses all summer. What do you like to pick up this time of year for bait?
I've got those frozen sheets of mackerel that I love from you. I call it Joey's Monster Mash. And I will bust those up with a hammer lightly and put the chunks in a scent tube along with usually some canned clams. I'm not opposed to spending $5 on a can of clams to throw in my crab pot. And that is my scent trail. I find that stuff, as it goes down, by the time it gets to the bottom, it then starts thawing and it's not all blowing out on the way down. And then I try to put some squid inside my bait cage. This is if I don't have salmon. And then I will resort, as much as I don't like it, to poultry, I will resort to a turkey leg.
Have you tried the crustacean sensation that's sweeping the nation from Ray's baits?
I have not yet, and I've seen it out there, and I'm going to have to try some. But that turkey leg at times, I just don't like the thought of handling raw poultry and having it on my hand and getting it on the steering wheel and everything else in the boat. But if you drill a hole in the knuckle of that big turkey leg and put your bait pin in it and then freeze it.
And then
when you go out, you're putting this frozen thing in.
Turkey works.
I
sold turkey for a lot of years. I packaged it up and sold it for crab bait. It just flat out works. And I gave it to a bunch of – here's how you know stuff like that works is I gave it to a bunch of commercial guys at Tulalip. They fished it. And then they still bug me. This is like 5 years ago, and I still get calls from those guys, and they want the turkey for whatever reason. I think it stays in there pretty well. It's tough. The other thing, all these guys that are out razor clamming right now, they sell razor clams. Commercial guys buy razor clams just for crabbing, and they'll take one razor clam and put it in their pot. And that's the best bait you can get. If you can keep yourself from eating all 20 of your clams, save some of those suckers.
Well,
definitely
save the guts.
Save the guts. And the shells.
Yeah.
Yep.
a lot of crabbers have commercial clamming permits, and actually they'll go out and dig a lot of their bait in the wintertime, and they're always putting those razor clams in their pots.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of a ringer technique.
There. All right, Bubba. Well, these knuckleheads have informed me that they are probably going to be hunting in Montana on the 20th. So the show before Thanksgiving, I think, will be the Nubba Nelly and Bubba extravaganza, or the Nubba. We'll call it
Belly and
Nubba.
Nubba.
Nubba
and Belly.
Belly and Nubba.
I like that.
The Belly and Nubba extravaganza. There we go.
Well, I look forward to it. I look forward to it. And remember, Joey, those turkey legs resemble seagulls. That's probably why they
do
so well.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bubba. Appreciate it, man. We'll be in touch, buddy. All right, man.
All right. He's Bob Buchanan. Go log on to bow-mac.com for his fine line of products. Coming up next, the hottest report we heard all week and the techniques you need to succeed. It's RoyRobinsonRV.com's Really? Where? And it's next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
No way.
You gotta be kidding me.
Really?
Where?
He's coming back. The island is tinny and delayed.
Where'd you get him, man? No way. You gotta tell me. I'm not gonna tell anybody.
Ocean journey red.
Hey, man, can you tell me where you got him?
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Welcome to RoyRobinsonRV.com's Really? Where?
Where?
RoyRobinsonRV.com will take you anywhere. Really?
Head on up to the all-new Roy Robinson RV Center at 15855 Smoky Point Boulevard, and you'll find the complete line of Winnebagos, from Class A diesels to Class Bs, Class B Super Cs, travel trailers, fifth wheelers, toy haulers, pop-ups, campers, and the all-new Echo by Winnebago. This is a four-wheel drive, self-contained bad mo. It is just, that's an amazing rig. You guys need to take one of those back to Montana, the new Echo. You stay inside it, you know, you get you and your deer just, you know. All
no,
the way back
we
home.
Can't be no. miserable enough in okay. anything like
yeah.
that. We need to
be
yeah.
really
that sounds way too nice.
Yes, absolutely.
The deer tastes so much better when you've just suffered greatly to get it, right? And I always brag to the family, like, look, what other family gets to eat a meal that costs $300 a pound
when
I bring it home?
So. And dad suffered for this, know, kids.
Yeah. Now,
look at these blisters.
Look at these blisters. You will like that venison. Now, choke it down. Spin the wheel here. Duck hunting. Razor clamming, crabbing, blackmouth fishing.
Can you razor clam and duck hunt at the same
Ooh.
Time?
You could.
Ooh.
Grace Harbor. Absolutely. Wow. Yeah. Now, I did talk to the game warden
a week ago. Shotgun.
These storms may not necessarily be all that great for the duck hunting on Grace Harbor, because these things blow right into Grace Harbor. There could be
blows them out.
Mm-hmm. There can be 6-footers in the harbor there. But the good thing is there's a lot of sheet water right now. So all those fields up in the Chehalis Valley, up the hump, all that stuff, will have a pile of ducks in them. And then it'll also blow a lot of those ducks down into Wellapaw and Palix and down in the southwest corner. Mm-hmm. So you could have a cast and blast opportunity down there if you could cast for razor clams and get some surf perch as well.
Oh, my God.
Those surf perch are good, man.
Oh, they are.
Oh, yeah.
They're amazing.
Take your clam guts, salt them up little bit, throw them out there. And if the surf isn't too bad. Now, again, we've had these storms just pounding the coast. I pulled up the swell report on Magic Seaweed for the weekend. It was just okay. It was doable for razor clamming this weekend, but still a 7 to 12-foot swell, that means the surf's going to be 20 feet.
But I think we have pretty big minus tides, though, so at least it's going to go out a bit.
Yeah, but you still got that surf and the rain. But anyway, there's great opportunity, though. This clamming season has been one for the books. Quick limits when the conditions present themselves correctly out there, and just a pile of clams on the coast. 20 clam limit, a bonus limit this winter, because let's face it, it was closed all last winter with the toxin situation out there. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of clams crabbing here in the Sound. Had some good reports from Hood Canal as well as the North End up by you guys up in the Everett area. A little bit of blackmouth fishing around Point Defiance. We just had Bubba on from Bomac Enterprises. There's a few down at Point Defiance. The current has been horrible down there on the south end. But Bubba's saying, you know, we got a little better tides this next week, so make it a little bit easier to access those blackmouth. And the squid may push in a little bit better, too, with this current backing off down there.
Speaking of push, there's been a pretty decent push of chum into Hood Canal. And so now we're starting to see that Hoodsport terminal fishery kind of come to bear a little bit here. I may be sneaking down there. Not next week, but the week after. Just go see what that program's all about. You and I kind of went down there and started monkeying with it that one time. It's a bit of a haul from the Port of Everett, but once you get down there, Hood Canal is so cool.
Yeah.
If you haven't spent a lot of time down there, it's truly a fjord.
Hmm.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a fjord.
Duck hunting, Joe. You went duck hunting. couple days ago and smashed the Ducks up on the north end, and it's been slow. Up until kind of this week, really, are finally starting to get some pretty good reports, you know. They had a northerly wind 2 weekends ago over on the east side that finally moved some Ducks into the east side there. And, boy, they smashed them good over their last weekend through the early part of the week.
Bunch of widgeon, and now it seems like there's more mallards showing up. I don't know how many mallards we shot. Probably there was probably only 6 widgeon yesterday and all just a bunch of greenheads.
The cool thing about the widgeon, though, they come in big groups.
They come in usually. Big groups, and they come in hot.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They two spins around the deeks, and they're coming in. Feet down, and they're coming in. Whereas the mallards, they may be a little more cagey, you know.
It's about your setup, too, you know. You got to be set up right to make those ducks work. And we had a perfect wind, you know, coming right across our back into the spread, and those ducks were doing about one circle and coming right in. Into the wind, legs, landing gear down, you know. And then the wind switched and started blowing in our face. So we had to turn around and face the other way. And then, you know, then you're taking like these weird shots where they're coming in, landing, and you're having to shoot kind of straight up or as they pass. And then it got a little tougher, and we scraped out our last like 5 ducks like that. But
shooting boss. You run a boss
yeah.
shot shells.
Yeah, there's 3.5s.
The 3.5 blends.
Yeah.
2¾-inch.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
They not are the only company pills, that has man. Ammo right now.
Yeah.
You can still get it on Boss. I talked to a couple guys that ordered some cases here this last week and got some ammo coming this way.
I've talked to a bunch of guys who are like, they're asking me like, hey, where do I get ammo? Where do I get ammo?
Joey was up at Gadget Arms and calls me and goes, dude, I hope you got your shells.
Yeah.
They ain't here.
And
yeah.
I told guys first, I'm like, well, hey, you know, check it, Skagit, but Boss, dude, order it online and just have it shipped. You're going to run around to 10 different spots to try to find shotgun shells. Just have Boss send you some. So a lot of those guys who are kind of being stubborn about it, finally they're like, I just ordered two cases of Boss. You know, have your shells for the season.
Yeah.
I shot over a box of shells yesterday.
That's all? Yeah. I usually two boxes to get my 7
Come
ducks.
On, man. Yeah. Says it like it's a big thing. Yeah. You're just stepping on shotgun shells at the end of the day. I get to drive to Montucky today. That's
and for Montana.
10-hour. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
You have a deer tag.
I have a tag.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
and I got
a V tag.
Yeah.
So we're going over there with our buddy Mike McCauley, and then you guys are going to be probably following in my tracks once the weather kind of turns a little more favorable back. Just a weird, warm,
yeah,
wet.
Pretty lame weather right now in Montana. We want something that's like pretty extreme to get those bucks running around.
I said it to somebody the other day. They're like, hey, when are you going back to Montana? I was like, oh, the weather sucks. And he's like, yeah, it's really nasty out. And I was like, no. You don't understand.
It's not nasty.
It's really nice in Montana. Yeah. We want the weather to suck in Montana before we're going to go.
But it's, you know, you look at a weather chart, a national weather chart right now, and it's just like everything west.
Pretty stale.
Everything west, we're getting these storms out of the Pacific, but then everything east of the Rockies is just a mellow fellow, you know, but we'll see. I mean, it's, you know, you got to get over there and hunt them up, and so that's kind of what we're going to try to
get. You guys are duck hunting. Are you putting spinners out or any kind of a jerk string?
Yeah,
kind of
a jerk string program? Spinner.
What model? Do you remember what model it was?
I don't. It's old. I actually got home yesterday, and I was kind of looking around. I was looking at Mojo. They have a couple. I want to buy one because we always use Spencer's, and this thing looks like it was from the 70s or something, but it works, man. I mean, you know, and the one thing about the pull string is you want to be able to not do it also.
Yeah,
and if you just have the wind ducks out there, they're
constantly
whipping.
Spinning.
Well, and the geese don't like that.
Yeah.
They don't want anything to do with it. So when the geese you're working geese, you want those wings quiet. But yeah, the wing ducks, the new – it's funny, a lot of guys call it hunting over cardboard, but it's, you know, the new silhouettes from Tangle Free. Mm-hmm. Awesome, dude, because they come in this nice little bag with a shoulder strap, 5 dozen silhouettes, and we're running goose silhouettes for ducks, you know, mostly. We're running about 2 bags, so 10 dozen, and then sprinkling in some mallards pretty close to the blind. But yeah, and then running a spinner. Those spinners, you can see it. The ducks will kind of buzz you, and you hit that spinner, and they're looking, and they see that movement.
And they turn.
They turn.
And we had Alex Langbell on from Gun Dog Outdoors a couple of weeks ago, and he said, you want to hunt them in a box. You know, turn them on the corners.
Yeah.
If they're buzzing away, you hit the spinner a little bit, and they turn a little bit, and they kind of come in front. And then you hit them again, they might swing back in, and you just got them in the box.
The other thing about those silhouettes is if you were to look at them from above, as the ducks are flying, they're seeing like they're not seeing a duck, right? Because they're looking maybe straight down on this thin silhouette. As they get by, boom, there's a duck. So it almost looks like movement down there.
Yeah, I hear you.
And it's so much easier than setting up. Like,
it is.
We used to set up 10 dozen full bodies. You know how much work that is?
Oh, I've done it.
Three in the morning.
I've done it, man. I remember setting out 1,600 snow goose decoys one morning, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I can only shoot a snow goose.
Like, what am I doing?
What am I going to do with this stupid snow goose when I do shoot it?
You hunt with the Meesburgs, and they have two cargo trailers rolling out there with layout blinds.
The cool thing is, we got a dozen, 14 guys. It goes quick.
It does.
It's pretty fun. Put the music on and put them out. But yeah.
Go check out Ryan Kleckner's book, Long Range Shooting Handbook. If you want to become a better rifle shooter, consider jumping on to peregrinelodge.com and jumping on the listener trip June 12th to the 15th. Matthew and I will be up there watching you reel in the biggest king salmon of the season for sure. Missed any of the show, jump on mynorthwest.com, theoutdoorline.com, or the Apple Podcast app. Give us a follow on social media at Rob Ensley, at Joe Pyburn, at The Outdoor Line on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. For Matt Nelson behind the glass, Rob Ensley, Joe Pyburn, I'm Tom Nelson. This has been The Outdoor Line at 710 ESPN. See ya.